Coming up on Golf Today, a few weeks ahead of the Open, what are the biggest storylines going into Royal Portrush? Is Rory McIlroy's homecoming storyline A number one? Well, Keegan Bradley making headlines as a player, but should he be a playing captain in the Ryder Cup? Captain Keegan speaks at the Rocket Classic in Detroit. And where does Minji Lee fit in the world of golf after major number three? Beth Ann Nichols breaks it all down right here on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Hey, it's Golf Today on a Wednesday. Damon Hack alongside Ryan Laver. The PGA Tour hits Detroit this week, and it just feels like it's getting a little bit serious. If you're one of those players, Ryan, that's kind of on the bubble, you got to start making some birdies as the summer wears on.
I mean, it doesn't just feel like it's getting serious. It's actually getting serious. I know that the signature events just ended on the PGA Tour, but there's only 6 weeks left in the PGA Tour's regular season. Keep in mind, this is the first year that they're sort of moving the goalposts from 125 to 100 for fully exempt players. Top 70 gets into the playoffs. But I think, Damon, the most important number in golf is 50. Top 50 in FedEx Cup points gets into the signature events in 2026. That's where all the big money is. That's where all the big points are. That's where all the big statuses as well on the PGA Tour.
Where all the goodies reside. But I think about that 100 number. This is a job that's getting harder and harder to keep.
It's certainly getting harder to keep. I think that's what the PGA Tour is trying to do.
Yeah.
It's trying to make it more cutthroat. It's trying to make it more, a little bit, certainly more competitive. I don't have a problem with it. I know the players are going to be, you know, losing some status, potentially having to go back to the Korn Ferry Tour. They're still going to get enough starts on the PGA Tour in 2026 to make it worthwhile.
Some losing status, others losing sleep. We'll see who rises to the occasion later this summer.
And it's all starting this week in Detroit. The PGA Tour, of course, has made the move from Connecticut to the Motor City this week in Detroit Golf Club. Live first-round coverage comes your way this Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time right here on Golf Channel. Let's take a look now at some of the notables in the field this week at the Rocket Classic. Last week's winner, Keegan Bradley, Colin Morikawa, a new caddy on the bag. More on that later on in the show. And newly minted pro Gordon Sargent, also in the field.
How about the schedule upcoming? It's packed, it's busy, it's consequential. Rocket Classic this week, then the John Deere Classic, and the Genesis Scottish Open. That's, of course, the co-sanctioned event. And opposite that, the ISCO Championship. And then, of course, the Open returns to Royal Portrush. And speaking of the season's final major, it is right around the corner. The Open from Royal Portrush begins July 17th on the networks of NBC, USA, and Peacock. So, who will take home the claret jug this year? I'm curious, Lav, what do you think the biggest storyline is ahead of the final major in the men's game?
It's Rory.
It's Rory.
And I think, I think most importantly, which Rory are we going to see?
Okay.
Is it going to be the Rory that was sort of brooding during the PGA Championship and at least the early stages of the U.S. Open? Or is it going to be the bouncy Rory? The Rory that we saw earlier this year, the Rory that we saw at the Masters, the Rory that we saw at the Zurich Classic, who was sort of basking in the glow of completing the career Grand Slam. Even, I would say, the bouncy Rory that we saw last week at the Travelers Championship, where he played pretty well again. He sounded really encouraged and optimistic about his game, and also traveling across the pond, getting back in those familiar environs, playing Lynx golf, I think feeling the love and the support of his home country, teeing it up at Royal Portrush just about an hour from where he grew up. I think that is exactly what he needs to sort of get him out of this late season funk that he clearly finds himself in.
Can the body and the mind respond one more time for another big moment in 2025? That's my question, because he does have such great ties to Royal Portrush and the Dunluce course. Shot 61 there at the age of 16. And of course, we all remember 2019, that opening round, the miss left with the iron, ends up making an 8, shoots 79, and then that incredible Friday where he shoots 65 and nearly makes the cut. He has great history and tortured history at this golf course, not to the level of Augusta National, but the fact that it's a homecoming, the fact that he's had 2 months, understandably, a little bit lost, this is an opportunity for him to get snapped back into the frame and focused once again.
Yeah, you think about the big tournaments that he could potentially sort of gird himself for. Right?
Yes.
The Open Championship at home. If he can't get motivated for that one, he said he's not going to get motivated
business.
For
right.
anything. Obviously, the Ryder Cup on American soil as well. Bethpage Black, you know the sort of environment he's going to find himself in. If he can't get up for those two events, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. He is preparing himself, Damon, for what he's expecting to be a pretty emotional fortnight across the pond. In 2019, did not handle it particularly well, was overwhelmed on that first tee on Thursday, made the spirited rally, as you mentioned, on Friday, broke down afterwards, saying he was, you know, sort of unaware of what that moment was going to mean for him. Can he get his game over these next couple weeks in a position to really capitalize on it is the big question to me. Drove it as well as anyone in the field at Oakmont.
Yeah.
Last week at the Travelers Championship, had his best putting week of the year, hit his irons as well as he has at Augusta. You know, which one comes first? Is it because he has an emotional letdown that his game sort of suffers, or is it because his game is not where he wants it to be that he has the emotional letdown as well? I think the game needs to be the priority over the next couple of weeks.
I hope he's able to find the joy that we see from him often, not so much since completing the career Grand Slam. I think it's been relief to a certain extent, but the last few weeks he's been a little bit testy with the media, kind of saying he's just kind of over the whole song and dance, the performative aspect. I play, I talk to you, I play, I talk to you. Okay, I understand, but man, when Rory is firing and when things are right, when he's playing great and he's comfortable and happy and expansive when he's talking to the media, it's the best version of Rory. I think that's the Rory that the media loves, the fans love, because he lets us in. I just hope it's not too late, that he's not just fried by what happened in April and the struggles of May, that he's able to kind of find that joy, recapture it before 25 is up.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that earlier this year at the Players' Championship in Augusta National, Rory McIlroy said that this is the happiest he has ever been.
Yeah.
Everything in his life was seemingly in a good spot, and I think that's why he played his best golf earlier this season, had the best start that he's ever had on the PGA Tour. Can he sort of rekindle that magic, get back into that frame of mind, you know, get himself up for another challenge? We don't know what that's like
to
basically summit the mountain.
Yes.
You're going to come back down. How do you then sort of get the courage and the encouragement and the motivation and everything else, all the excitement to just go again?
Yeah.
Tiger Woods couldn't do it.
After did not.
The Tiger Slam in 2001, did not have a top 10 in a major championship the rest of the year. Rory's finding that difficult as well. But if it is going to happen, it's going to happen at Portrush, and it's certainly going to happen at Bethpage Black.
You mentioned the Open getting his attention. You mentioned the Ryder Cup getting his attention. Let's flash back to 2023 when Team Europe took back the Ryder Cup from the United States in Rome. It was decisive. Captain Luke Donald led the Europeans to a commanding victory as Team USA still hasn't won the Ryder Cup on European soil since 1993. Yep, there's Captain Luke. He's back, by the way, for a second run as captain. He will square off against, of course, Keegan Bradley. Back in July of last year, Keegan surprisingly announced as the captain for Team USA in the upcoming Ryder Cup this September at Bethpage Black, a golf course he knows well. Keegan, of course, was a member of two Ryder Cup squads in 2012 at Medina and again in 2014 at Glen Eagle. So, let's take a look at the latest U.S. Ryder Cup standings. Keegan, fresh off that win at the Travelers, up inside the top 10 at number 9. And, of course, the idea of him becoming a playing captain in September is now front and center. And earlier today at the Rocket Classic, Captain Keegan met the media.
All right, we'd like to welcome Keegan Bradley to the interview room here at the 2025 Rocket Classic. Keegan, coming off a win last week at Travelers, which pretty much everybody saw, was a pretty exciting tournament. What's the last 48 hours been like for you after victory?
It's been great. I got to go home. I have a place in New England that I got to go home and see my family and hang out, but I'm pretty tired, but feel okay. We celebrated a little bit, but it's been a great 48 hours, and after you win, it's a whirlwind, so I'm excited to get home this afternoon and rest.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's the energy level? That takes a lot out of you.
It's better than I've had in the past, but it's certainly low. There's been times where I after I've won, I haven't really slept very well for a while. You're just amped up, but I'm going to sleep well tonight.
Yeah, this is your fifth start here at the Rocket Classic, a couple of top 25s. What about this course do you think feels like it suits your game?
Yeah, I really enjoy playing this golf course. Reminds me a lot of courses I grew up in New England with the tree-lined fairways, and it's a classic Donald Ross looking course, and one that I really love playing every year.
All right, we'll take some questions. If you have a question, put your hand up and we'll get you a microphone. We'll start with Jimmy over here on the right.
Hey, Keegan, congrats on the win last week. Obviously, a lot of noise coming into this week regarding the Ryder Cup and captaincy and stuff. You're playing with two of your possible teammates for the first two rounds this week. How do you stay kind of focused at the job at hand, which would be winning the Rocket Classic, as well as just kind of dealing with all these external?
Yeah, so for me, the only time I can escape the Ryder Cup thoughts are when I'm inside the ropes. So I'm able to escape the Ryder Cup a little bit when I get inside the ropes. When I leave those ropes, when I go this afternoon, I have some Ryder Cup stuff I have to do. But I've been doing a pretty good job this year of it's time to tee it up in the tournament of being a player first. And then when I leave there, I have to be the captain. But, I think one of the things I've managed well this year is once I'm inside those ropes, I'm a player.
How much do you dedicate to that Ryder Cup captaincy, and does that take away at all from your playing time?
So it doesn't take away at anything from my preparation and my play, and I'm doing all this stuff when I'm home. But we get closer to the Ryder Cup, things are amping up, certainly for sure. But we're every day we're working. We're on the the chat with the vice captains, and now the team is really starting to take shape, and we know a handful of guys that are pretty close to a mathematical lock on the team. We start thinking about partners and formats, and things are definitely amping up.
Over on this side of the room, go ahead.
Hey Keegan, how did today's round or nine holes, how was play today, especially after these heavy rains?
Yeah, it was great. The course is in great shape. Anytime you get a chance to tee it up in a PGA Tour event, there's a lot at stake. So there's a lot of FedEx Cup points available, and it's just another opportunity to bank some of these points, and you're winning here would be amazing.
Any thoughts on what the competition is going to be like this weekend? It's a pretty big field for the Rocket Classic.
Yeah, it's going to be great. This tournament creates a lot of excitement and drama. Those last the back nine, a lot can happen. The eagles and birdies, and a lot of par fives, a lot of par threes, and it's always creates an exciting finish.
Keegan, your golf swing looks from the outside like it's very similar to what it's always been. What do you love about the way you swing the golf club?
I've never been asked that. I think that what's important with a golf swing for a player, but especially a PGA Tour player, is to not try to make it something that isn't you. I've owned my swing. I know what to do. I know the mistakes that I make when things are bad. And I think over the years I've really learned to accept how my swing looks. I got a weird setup. My hands are really low. Everyone thinks my clubs are super short. But I've done a good job of owning that, and that's the best way to have me play well.
What would you change?
If I could change anything, I would like to look more like Adam Scott or Rory in the setup and a nice finish, but that's not in the cards for me.
I have to mention the video that popped up on social media last week after your win, when you were first being recruited. Your swing hasn't changed much since then.
No.
But when you see that again, what sort of feelings does that bring back?
It's pretty cool. It was a stressful time in my life because I wasn't getting recruited by literally any colleges, and somebody suggested we make this like hype video or whatever it is. And you look back on it now, it's silly. We sent it out to 40 colleges. We didn't get one response. But thankfully, St. John's saw something in me, and now we can look back and laugh at it.
Just one last one from me. You mentioned the focus on the Ryder Cup when you're outside the ropes. I want to bring up the wives are a big part of that too, and your wife is pretty heavily involved this year. What's that been like for her, being involved in it?
My Jillian is really is everything to our family and to me. She allows me to be the best that I can be. My youngest son Saturday night was sick and throwing up all night. I woke up, I had no idea. She's the hero of our family, and she's doing an incredible job of being the lady captain. And you know, she's gonna make sure that our guys and the wives are taken care of and ready to do everything we can to win the Ryder Cup.
We'll dig into Keegan's comments a little bit later on Golf Today. How can you watch Keegan and Company in Detroit? Rocket Classic coverage, first round, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday as well. Then Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the final round.
And when Golf Today continues, we're checking in on the LPGA Tour. Austin Kim is fresh off her best performance in a major. And while she couldn't pass Minji Lee, Austin could be primed for more major success in 2025. She'll join us next on Golf Today.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
We're back on Golf Today. Some images from Sunday in Frisco, Texas, as Minji Lee captured the title in the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, and in doing so, earned her third career major championship victory. How about historically, most women's major championships for players representing Australia? Kari Webb, great to have her on the broadcast last week. 7 for her. Jan Stevenson, 3. And there's Minji now with 3. And it feels like more to come. But some highlights from the final round, Lav. This was Austin Kim. She's making a move on Sunday.
In the final round, 9 shots back. All of a sudden, she was thoroughly in the mix. This on 8. Just about perfect.
Wow.
Second birdie in a row on a golf course, Damon, that was not yielding many birdies.
It was spicy, it was difficult, it was windy. This is her second at the par 5 ninth.
One of the longest hitters in the game. Taking advantage of her length. Look at this.
Fantastic shot. Gets on the dance floor, 2 putts for birdie to get to red numbers. Co-runner-up finisher to Minji Lee, and you see her best major finishes. That was the best, that tie for second, co-runner-up. And you see some other finishes where she had some Sunday play as well. And it's great to have Austin Kim. She's going to join us now from the Dow. Wonderful to see you. First of all, what's the energy level after a tough week in Frisco? How nice to kind of fall into a nice team event with Se-young Kim.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me, first of all. I think it's really nice to just have a fun week and just try to make birdies and enjoy the laughs on the fairways with Se-young. So I'm really looking forward to this week.
Austin, let's put a fine point on this. There was so much talk about the weather, about the golf course, about the setup. What were your impressions of what you guys faced last week, PJ Frisco?
I think the course was definitely set up in a way that was difficult already, and the conditions like wind, heat, course firmness, just it all combined to make a week that was very difficult. Thankfully, I had the skills to kind of combat those demands and meet those demands, but I think the wind just made the course really, really difficult and very tough to navigate.
How did you alter your shot trajectory, change your game plan, hitting different windows? How did you make those adjustments on the fly?
I think it was really important to try and decide, did I want to fight the wind or kind of go with it in the situation? And a lot of the situations, like just because it was gusting 25, 30 miles an hour, you can't really fight it. So I figured going with it is fine. And trajectory-wise, like you just don't want shots to blow up into the wind and get carried over. So it was a lot of trying to control, feel the shots that I wanted to hit, just trying to control the ball flight and get something on the greens and have a look for birdie or secure par.
Awesome. With the setup, with the stakes of a major championship, where did that final round 68 rank among some of the best rounds of golf you've ever played?
I think it's definitely up there. There were a lot of demands in the situation, super windy. Of course, the final round of a major, there's a ton of pressure, and I'd never really felt that before. But it's probably one of the best rounds of golf that I've played. Of course, I wanted to make a couple more birdies coming down the stretch, but being able to finish with nine pars in a row on a course that was that difficult and in conditions that were probably some of the hardest conditions that I've ever played in, I'm pretty proud of that round.
One thing you said afterwards, Austin, was that you're learning to regulate your emotions better. What does that look like? Is that conscious breathing? Is that positive self-talk? What does regulating your emotions mean?
Regulating emotions to me is just being in touch with what I'm feeling, what my brain is basically saying, relaying to my body, like what my internal environment looks like. And I just feel like that dialogue inside my brain has opened up a lot, and I'm more aware of what's going on, what emotions I'm feeling, how my emotions translate into signs of physical stress, or how it shows up in my body during competition. So just being more aware of what's going on physically and mentally, and being able to get back to baseline and compete the best that I can.
How do you describe major championship pressure? How do you quantify it? How do you qualify it? Damon and I are never going to be inside the ropes on a Sunday trying to win a major championship. But what is that like? What exactly are you feeling in those moments?
Yeah, I kind of use the analogy of like stepping into a really hot sauna, and if you can withstand the heat, then you stay there. And like I personally think that Minji stayed in there the longest, and she was able to withstand the heat and the pressure. And if you can't, then you have to step out. Like there's no other way to relieve the pressure of the situation. But it's a really cool feeling to be in contention. It's a really cool feeling to see all the hard work show in my play, and playing in a major is just something else. Like playing in a regular season event versus a major at Frisco or a couple weeks ago at Erin Hills. Like just being up there, feeling like every single shot really matters, and you're just trying to execute under the gun. It's a really exciting feeling.
Austin, people tell me, you know, watch the LPGA, follow Lydia Ko's golf swing, Minji Lee's golf swing. I'm watching your golf swing now, but I understand you watch the men's game from time to time. What do you want to learn by watching the likes of Viktor Hovland? What do you take away from the best players in the men's game?
I think the men approach golf in a very different manner than we do. But it's really cool to listen to players talk about their mental approach. I think like JJ Spahn, after he won the US Open, him saying that all he wanted to do was stay in it, stay in the tournament. He didn't feel like he had to hit crazy shots or crazy superhuman shots. And I really took that advice at Frisco. Like I did not want to hit any superhuman shots, because that's how you take yourself out of a tournament. And I feel like I only made one really big mistake throughout the week and was able to recover from that. So the biggest goal is just trying to hit the high percentage shots and stay in the tournament. And pars were good. So thanks to JJ for really good advice.
Austin, you have five top 15 finishes this season. In your opinion, what's been the biggest transition or adjustment that you've made in your game, either physically or mentally, from year one to year two on the LPGA?
I believe being more consistent with my fundamentals and long game has been a big help. Like, I'm kind of I so Scotty said a couple months ago that he kind of sucked at his grip since he was young, and I could really relate to that. I've never been the best at gripping consistently, so I got a grip trainer. Before I step into the ball every single time, I'm making sure that my hands feel good, look good, they're in the same position. I'm just trying to get the ball in the same position every single day, especially when I warm up. So just putting a lot of focus on my fundamentals, just trying to make things as consistent as possible every single day. And I think mentally, again, being able to regulate, being more in touch with my emotions and how I'm feeling every single day, and just enjoying the journey. Like, this isn't an easy life. I'm living the dream for sure, but it's very difficult to try and be the best and to try and be excellent every single day. So I'm just embracing the difficulty, enjoying the moments, and taking it one day at a time.
Austin, since it is so difficult, what's it like having a big sister who played pro golf? She's now in med school at Vandy. You can call August and say, can you believe that pin position on 8? What did they do to the golf course on 13? What's it nice to have that sounding board?
I think it's really cool. I think it's great. I'm very grateful for her support and for her being such a good listener. There are times when I complain a lot about golf or a bad pin position, and she just tells me, like, you're playing golf for a living. You kind of need to shut up. So she keeps me really grounded, and I completely agree with her. There are worse things to be ailed with, and for me to have problems in the world of golf, I'm very, very fortunate that my biggest problem is a bad pin position or mishitting a golf ball or making a bogey. Like, that's a very good problem to have nowadays. So she keeps me very grounded. She loves me unconditionally, and I can talk to her about anything. So I'm very lucky.
Well, Austin, you're a wonderful player with a wonderful personality. Great job in Frisco. Have a wonderful week at the Dow Championship.
Thank you guys very much.
And still ahead in hour number 2 of Golf Today, we're checking in with Keegan Bradley as the debate continues on his role in the upcoming Ryder Cup. Will he captain tee it up? Bethpage Black, we're here from him next. And 2-time major winner Kyle Morikawa is still searching for his first win since 2023. Is this the week that he breaks through on the PGA Tour? We'll take a closer look at the numbers as Golf Today continues.
Golf Today.
Welcome again to Golf Today. Damon Hack alongside Ryan Lavener. Big hour behind, another big hour ahead. So neat to talk to the likes of Austin Kim and Joe Hooks. We talk a lot about the Rorys and the Scotties, and we will forever and ever. But nice to hear from some maybe budding superstar.
Yes, Austin Kim, Bethann Nichols also joined the show.
Yeah.
Talked very optimistically about what her future could be. And yeah, like, we're going to talk Keegan this hour. We're going to talk Kyle Morikawa this hour. Joe Hooks, as special of a story as he could possibly get this week at the Rocket Classic. I think we're all hoping he's there on Sunday with a chance to win the golf tournament.
Wish him a great week. You mentioned Keegan Bradley. It was back in July of last year when Keegan was announced, surprisingly, as Ryder Cup captain for Team USA at the upcoming Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. Now, Keegan has been a part of 2 Ryder Cup teams back in 2012 and again in 2014. And, of course, Sunday, that huge moment for Keegan, securing the win at the Travelers Championship with this putt. By a single shot, it was his first win in a signature event. And with the win, Keegan suddenly in the conversation as a playing captain as he vaults inside the top 10 in the current U.S. Ryder Cup standings. He also has a tee time tomorrow alongside a couple of Ryder Cup hopefuls in Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay. They are off at 7:29 a.m. Eastern time. So for more on Captain Keegan, we say hello to our Amy Rogers.
Hey there, Damon. Well, it has no doubt been a crazy couple days for Keegan Bradley since his win at the Travelers Championship, as suddenly he's having to entertain this idea he said he really hadn't given much thought to before, the possibility of being a playing captain at the Ryder Cup. And he said he was really looking forward to just being captain. The prospect of making his own team wasn't something that he had really thought about. But obviously now the situation has changed. And I got a chance earlier today here at the Rocket Classic to speak with the Ryder Cup captain about the prospect now of playing for his own team, as well as to get his reaction that he's received from friends and family since his win on Sunday.
It's been really fun. I got to head home for a day and spend it with my family, but just being around the people, you know, giving me congrats has been really great.
You said after your victory that you hadn't really thought about this possibility of being a playing captain, but the PGA of America kind of planted that seed for you. Is that more of a pressure or a motivation for you?
Well, you know, things are certainly different now after that win, but I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to go about this. You know, I my plan is to be the captain first. And, you know, if we get in 2 months, if we see that that's if I'm going to help the team, then we'll have to make a decision. But as of right now, I'm still going to be just the captain.
When you're considering big decisions like this and other points in your career, what does that process sort of look like for you as you contemplate this decision going forward?
Yeah, well, it's pretty chaotic because, you know, I'm still trying to, compete in my real job out here. And then when I leave here, I become the Ryder Cup captain. So I have both things to sort of distract from each other. And it's sort of been kind of nice. So when I'm out here, I have to try to leave that Ryder Cup stuff. But when I leave the golf course, I got to be the captain again. And then, you know, I got to rely on my vice captains and some of the older guys to help me guide me through this.
It's a lot to juggle, but I'm sure you feel like it's a good problem to have. We appreciate the time. Good luck this week.
Thank you.
It's a lot for Bradley to have to think about. You can hear it in his voice there, just talking about all the demands on his time right now. Now, with that win, he climbed inside the top 10 in the Ryder Cup point standings. And, of course, he will also have those six captain picks to make. So with a strong finish to the season, he could automatically play his way onto that team or may have to consider the prospect of picking himself for his team. But he's got some time to think about it, as the standings won't be finalized until the conclusion of the BMW Championship in August. Now, I spoke with two members of the U.S. side, Colin Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay, have both been a member of the U.S. Ryder Cup team. I also spoke with one of Bradley's assistant captains, Webb Simpson, asking all of them their thoughts on the possibility of Bradley being a playing captain. And when I spoke with Simpson, he had said that he actually had dinner with Bradley last night. And here's what he had to say about the prospect of Bradley being a playing member of this team.
Probably two or three holes, but he's playing so well. And so to see him come up clutch down the stretch is no surprise to any of us. And, you know, we're giving him a hard time about, you know, I want him in the lineup. You know, if I'm the captain, or, you know, Brandt, as captains, we're like, he's got to play. I mean, he's one of the best players in the world. He can handle pressure. And so I was so happy for him. And what a clutch moment to make that putt on the last hole. Whatever the lineup ends up being, we're all unified. We want to put forward the best 12 guys to represent the USA. And like I said, if Keegan happens to be one of the 12, great. If not, he's going to be an incredible captain, as he's already been.
Yeah, we saw Tiger Woods do it in 2019 at Royal Melbourne. That was a President's Cup, and he did a fantastic job at it. And if Keegan decides to go that route, or he qualifies for the team, I think he'll do a great job.
If we were talking about today, I think there's a very high chance. And I think even if you talk about 2 months from now, I think there is a chance. They've got all the plans, I'm sure, in place. This wasn't something that, you know, maybe could happen. It was a high chance that it could. And he's one of the best golfers in the world, you know, not just for the U.S. He's one of the best golfers in the world. I think the U.S. team would want that. And we'd be giving up too much to not have that. So, look, Keegan's one of the best people that I've gotten to know on the PGA Tour. He cares so much, and he cares not just about his family and his own team, but other players out here, and that means the world, and that just shows what kind of captain he could or could, you know, possibly be. So it's, you know, it's very motivating for me to go out there, play my best, and make sure I'm on that team.
You last heard there from Morikawa, who made a bit of news here this week as well. After just four tournaments together, he has split with Joe Greiner, his caddy. This week, Morikawa has a friend on the bag, a former college teammate. Morikawa telling me that this is just a fun one-week arrangement, as his friend failed to Monday qualify, so he'll be helping him out here this week. Morikawa telling me that, you know, two people can be really good at their jobs, referring to himself and Greiner, but just didn't work out well together. Guys.
All right, Amy Rogers with all the stories at Detroit Golf Club ahead of the Rocket Classic, including Keegan Bradley, who, let's be honest, to this point, expertly playing inside the ropes, focusing as a player, and apparently outside the ropes, expertly performing as a captain and a manager. The question is, can that continue as the weeks wear on and we get closer and closer to the Ryder Cup? Can he continue to be great at both?
I think that's the big question, because when you hear his assistant captains, like Webb Simpson, it sounds pretty clear that the assistant captains want him to play, that they think that he's one of the 12 best Americans. If you look at Data Golf, Keegan Bradley right now is the fifth best U.S. player.
Amazing.
He, in theory, would give them a better chance of winning against Europe at Bethpage. But like you listen to the players, like Patrick Cantlay or Colin Morikawa, they say they're motivated by him. They want him on the team as well. I wrote down, as of now, this is a Keegan Bradley quote, as of now, I'm still going to be just the captain. The reason why, to me, he's saying that right now is because we sit here in late June.
Yeah.
We are 3 months away from the Ryder Cup.
And he's ninth.
He's ninth in the point standings. There are four consequential tournaments still to play this season, the Open Championship and the three FedEx Cup playoff events. If some of the players who are on sort of that 7 through 15 bubble, if they win those golf tournaments and Keegan Bradley somehow moves down the rankings into 11, 12, 13, I think it's an entirely different conversation. And then you could potentially make the case that he could be replaceable as a player. However, conversely, if he plays great and he gets even closer to the top six, then I think it's a no-brainer. You have to put him on the team because he's playing one of the best of the Americans.
We had his press conference in addition to Amy's interview with Keegan, and I was struck by how tired he sounded, especially when he was sitting down in the presser. He was kind of leaning forward a little bit. I mean, this is coming off of a very big and emotional week and victory for him in Connecticut, not far from where he grew up. I just wonder how taxing being a player would be and even having to think about the potentiality of pairings and practice rounds and concessions and speeches and NBC interviews, pre-match. I think it's neat. Like, I think Colin and Patrick think it's cool that their captain is playing so well, and Patrick brought up the President's Cup and Tiger in 2019.
But I think that's like an entirely different animal. Okay. There's more days. It's more spaced out. There's clearly less pressure. That was away from home. I mean, it's an entirely different animal. And keep in mind, the Americans were trailing heading into that final day. They were looking at a very rare loss in the President's Cup if they didn't have a final day rally, of course, spurred by Tiger, the playing captain himself. But I don't necessarily see the comparisons. To me, the Ryder Cup is a whole different behemoth.
I identify Keegan Bradley as a player, and I think he does as well. And listen, he's only played on two Ryder Cup teams. He has missed it as a player. I know he got a lot out of last year's President's Cup and getting the clinching point and being the elder statesman on that team, but I would think that deep down, he wants one more Ryder Cup at least as a player. And I think the captaincy kind of complicates that. No one could have known he would continue to play at the high level. The thought is you put the captain's hat on, the headset.
PGA of America did. Seth Wild said, we want you to be the first playing captain since 1963. Apparently
really?
Unaware of the potential complications that you could now have. And look, even if Keegan Bradley is a playing captain, so to speak, even if he does play on his own team, it would just be a playing captain
in name only. I agree.
This would be a captain by committee. You would think Jim Furyk, who has plenty of experience, would sort of be the head of this new committee. Brant Snedeker, the future President's Cup
captain. There for jokes and loosening it up, loosening everybody up.
Webb is there. It would be a team effort.
Yeah.
But look, Keegan Bradley is still going to have his attention divided. Even if you tell him, just go inside the ropes and get a point for Team USA, he's still going to be thinking about the future, what's going to happen, potential pairings, you know, who's going to have the final say? Who has to meet with the media? It's too much for one man to handle in the current environment, even if it is sort of in name only. I don't like the scenario. Right now, I would still have him, as Keegan Bradley says, as just the captain.
Each role takes so much focus. Whether you're the Ryder Cup captain or a Ryder Cup player, your focus has to be singular. Your energy level has to be directed and not distracted. And I think that that's been proven time and time again in these matches. It's everything. It's Rory shouting in the car park. You know, it's Ben Crenshaw's Saturday night. It's Justin Leonard running around the green. It's all of those things. It's the history, it's the passion, it's the emotion. And I don't think in a role of that import that you can have divided loyalties. And I mean that on your own team. Like, well, what am I focusing on? It's got to be all in one way or the other. I think you're right. He may be captain in name, but behind the scenes, those other four guys will be pulling the levers, I think, in carrying the lion's share of the decision-making.
And every coach, you know, every manager, every captain is expecting the players to be fully invested in their job. Keegan Bradley is the single most important person as a part of Team USA. Yeah. And how can you have that most important person potentially not be fully invested in one role? To me, that's just not a favorable scenario for success, for what should be a pretty convincing U.S. victory at home and all the potential advantages he would have there.
Fascinating few months ahead of the Ryder Cup. One thing we know, Keegan Bradley continues to climb the charts in all ways. So we're going to take a look at the latest Comcast Business Tour Top 10 standings, which rewards consistent and reliable play throughout the season. We mentioned Keegan moving up in the Ryder Cup standings, also moving up in the Comcast Business Tour Top 10, up 22 spots to number 8, world number 1, and 2025 PGA champ Scotty Scheffler continues to hold the top spot in the rankings. Rory McIlroy, on the strength of his wins at Pebble and the Players and the Masters, remains in the second spot.
And still to come on golf today, we're looking at Colin Morikawa's chances this week in the Rocket Classic. Still searching for his first win. What are the key categories to pay attention to this week? We'll dive deeper coming up next.
We're back on golf today. In the fall of 2023, Colin Morikawa shot a final round 7-under-63 in the Zozo Championship for his first PGA Tour title in more than 2 years. Now, the win marked his sixth overall on the PGA Tour, but Colin has not seen the winner's circle since that victory. Always did like that trophy, gotta say. 35 starts since, 4 runner-up finishes, 25 top 25 finishes. Colin making some news today, changing caddies and with the media.
Yeah, I think I'm still learning that. Look, when I split with JJ Jakovac, you know, I had him except for one tournament my entire career. And you get used to that. And JJ's an amazing caddy, and I wish him all the best. So when I leave that, you know, it's a process for me to find because I only know one way. And I think people, you know, they're going to be surprised. But the way I put it is, just because two people are great at what they do doesn't mean they're going to be great together. And I think Joe is an amazing caddy. But I think just the way we kind of saw things, or just day to day, how we kind of went about it, you know, we're just a little bit on a different page. And that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. But for me, it just didn't feel right. And, you know, I have to explore other options. And, you know, I knew that coming in. I knew it was going to be a great start, and it was going to be a fun thing for me to test out that I knew I put myself in. But at the end of the day, you know, it's, you don't know how you're going to be, because we spend more time with them than anyone else in the world, honestly. Like, I spend more time with them than my wife sometimes. So it's, you know, it's a true relationship. And look, I wish, you know, JJ and Joe all the best. But it's for right now, I just felt like I needed to fill in. I got my buddy on the bag who played Berkeley with me, who's actually still playing on the Korn Ferry. So I appreciate him doing that. And we're going to go out and have a blast.
Back to the caddy cheech.
Yeah.
You know who's going to caddy for you at the British Open?
I don't. And, you know, I read your article that you wrote. Look, I'm not here to tell people how to do their jobs, but I don't get why you would make me sound bad because you put out my quote that I was playing with pro-am partners out front. Those guys are paying a lot of money. They're very important to the community. They're very important to the Rocket Classic. And for you to put out a quote like that, to put me down and saying, hey, wait 2.5 hours. I mean, you called me up on the first tee, you know? So I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. You can write whatever you want. This is America. But don't put me down like that, because it's 2.5 hours, Adam.
I thought it was actually giving you credit that you were playing. You were focused on your pro-am partners.
Okay. We can all read it very differently. That's not how I read it. I don't know how, but I'm just telling you, like, I think there's a perspective where people can read it like that. So I'm just going to leave it at that, we knew I was going to have media in 2.5 hours. I'm on the first tee meeting my pro-am partners as they're teeing off. So on the caddy front, I don't, it's a process that I'm going through. Hopefully we'll find out when the time comes, and I will let everyone know. Thank you.
A lot to unpack in that presser with Colin Morikawa, 2-time major champ, obviously having a little back and forth with Adam Shupak of Golf Week magazine about the timing of a question to Colin about his caddy change. And Colin, of course, saying, I got 9 holes to play. And I guess that was quoted in the story.
Yeah, there's certainly a rhythm. And you and I both have been in that position where it's actually a good time to sort of gather material or meet up with a player because they have a set tee time.
Right.
You typically go to them at the end of their pro-am round, and you sort of sidle up to them on the 7th eighth, ninth hole if you need something, as clearly Adam Szupak did in this instance. I think as it relates to Colin Morikawa, he's clearly sensitive about how he is being portrayed in the media. I think for good reason. He's become sort of the poster child for stiff-arming reporters after what happened after the final round at Bay Hill. But to me, that was a one-off. You know, this is a guy who is blowing off steam.
Yep.
What people forget is 2 days later, when he met with the media at the Players' Championship, he was terrific. He answered like a dozen questions about why he's been unable to close out tournaments, and I thought he was much more introspective in that moment than we would have gotten 2 days earlier at Bay Hill in sort of the heat of the moment. It's certainly a conversation worth having.
Yeah.
Of what do players owe the media, particularly in this new times with SSG involved and sort of trying to grow the PGA Tour. But in my experiences with Colin Morikawa, that was a one-off. And he's largely accepted responsibility. And now I think he's sort of pushing back against the image that has been portrayed of him as being sort of media unfriendly and sort of stiff-arming reporters.
I mean, both of us, we lean on players for information to do our jobs, but you can't take it personally. And I've learned this approaching them on the driving range. Sometimes they're loose, sometimes they're a little tight and working on something, and they're focused, and I'll say, I'll try to get you later. I'll never forget, I approached David Duval for the very first time, Westchester Classic. I just got the job as a golf writer for Newsday. I said, David, I'm Damon Hack. I just covered the Knicks, and now I'm covering golf. I'd love to talk to you. And he goes, not right now, in the locker room. I go, okay. And he goes, what do you like better, covering basketball or the Knicks? He didn't want to talk about his golf. He just wanted a human interaction. And I told him, I'm excited to cover golf. You know, it's all day games and things like that. So I learned that there are times when that you can approach and talk, and sometimes I could talk to David Duval, and sometimes he wouldn't want to talk. And I think Colin is saying there's a time and a place for everything. I think his point is, hey, in 2.5 hours, I'm going to have a microphone in front of my face, and we can dig in this a little bit better. And he's saying, I got to deal with my pro-am partners who are paying money for his time and attention over those nine holes.
Yeah, I certainly think as a reporter, you need to read the room, you know, sort of see where the time and place is for that. Probably on the first tee of a pro-am wouldn't be. If you get confirmation, you can still go with the story that way and then button it up afterward with a write-through. I mean, there's certainly ways around it, and it certainly appeared like Colin Morikawa took exception with the way this one was.
Well, speaking of Colin Morikawa, it's time now to check out the CDW Intelligence Center and go beyond the scorecard using ShotLink statistics. We've talked about Colin outside the ropes. What about inside the ropes as he chases this first win since 2023? What are you seeing when you dig into the numbers?
Yeah, he's hit a little bit of a rough patch in his season, has now gone 8 consecutive starts on the PGA Tour without a top 10, has one more of those. That'd be the worst stretch of his entire PGA Tour career. But I really go back, Damon, to his ball striking and his scrambling statistics in particular. We all know that Colin Morikawa, one of the most accurate players on the PGA Tour. But look at these significant jumps, particularly with his iron play. Greens in regulation, proximity to the hole, year over year. That has, however, sort of coincided with a slip around the greens and with his scrambling. So what this is telling me is that last year his short game was able to save him because he had more opportunities. This year, the fewer times they need to get up and down for par, he's not converting those chances. So it could be technical, sort of reading the lie, not playing the shot correctly that's called for, but it could almost be psychological, where if you're not able to save par as often, you know, it feels like you have to press, you have to hit it closer, you're sort of unable to sustain the momentum of the round. It's sort of coalesced now into a rough patch for Colin Morikawa, where he has to marry all parts of his game up that he's not doing right now.
He's had caddy changes, he's had coaching changes, was with Rick Sessinghouse since childhood, then went to Mark Blackburn briefly, now back with Rick Sessinghouse. And speaking of his scrambling, maybe no better example of some struggles was at Bay Hill on that Sunday. This was coming up short in right of the 14th green and failing to get up and down. He had a 3-shot lead at this point to Russell Henley. This was kind of where things went off the rails for him.
This was his golf tournament. 3-shot lead with 5 holes to play. Get that up and down, sustain the momentum. It's still his tournament. Instead, makes bogey. Henley makes birdie. All of a sudden, you have a 1-shot cushion with just 4 holes to play.
Doesn't it feel like he's getting closer, though? I feel like it's not going to be long. I think he's playing at a consistently high level. And as you said, the scrambling has hurt him, and that was a perfect example of it. But I still feel like he is someone who, get that W perhaps by the end of the season. He's going to be a contender at least going into the final major of the season.
I felt that way at the beginning of the year, certainly. The way that he played, I think, through the Masters was really encouraging. It felt like he's close. He's definitely hit a little bit of a rough patch. He's had some turbulence now inside the ropes with the caddy changes, sort of trying to find what works. He is a sublime ball striker.
Yeah.
The most important attribute and characteristic on the PGA Tour is strong iron play. Colin Morikawa is always going to give himself chances because he's still one of the best iron players on the PGA Tour.